All right, everyone, welcome to the Nerdcast, brought to you by Project Nerd. It is episode 123.
Greetings, my friends. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. You are listening to the Nerdcast, but what you're really listening to are subliminal messages saying, I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. I will obey brain. Yes!
It's our first time back on the air since Planet Comic Con. We took a little extra time off to get back into the swing of things because it was a show. And today's a very special episode. Unfortunately, we do not have, or fortunately, depending on how you feel about it, Iggy and Aaron. But we do have a very special guest, Mr. Scott Drummond. So welcome to the show, Scott.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
And then Adam's here, too.
Hi, everybody. Don't worry. I won't leave you.
And then I'm here, obviously, Tyler. So we got all sorts of cool things to talk about. So, but now, like, having now decompressed from Planet Comic Con, how was everyone's time at the show? Kansas City's biggest comic convention of the year, and it's bigger and bigger every year. This year, no exception.
Did you hear any final numbers?
I didn't. I actually didn't even bother to look. I forgot all about it. But I know on Saturday they had to stop letting people in at some point. They hit capacity. So
really? Yeah, I figured Stan Lee's announcement that he was, you know, that New York Comic Con was going to be his last Comic Con was going to drive a bunch of people out, like out to the show. So I figured the numbers would be big, but I didn't. I was just wondering if either of you guys, since you're both in Kansas City, actually,
we are
heard final numbers for that.
I haven't seen anything yet. I've been looking around. We were talking with some friends on Saturday about it, and we haven't seen anything yet.
It says, like, they did a press release the day after it ended, and it just says over 70,000.
Wow, that's crazy.
So compared to where it was 2 or 3 years ago, like, that's because it's been what? It's been Planet Comic Con. It's been running for quite a while, but
I think it's been like 20 years ish. Like I remember in, you know, college seeing, you know, flyers for it in, you know, art school and stuff. And then like, oh, I should get down there to Overland Park and go to the Overland Park Convention Center. And
yeah,
what?
Yeah. It looks like the first one was in 99. So almost 20 years.
Wow.
And then this has been their what? Fifth or sixth year at Bartle Hall.
I think it's third.
Yeah, I was going to say four. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, not too long. I think we've had.
Well, this was our fourth one as being there as Project Nerd.
Right.
I feel like, wasn't it in Bartle the 1 year before that? And then before that, it was in Overland Park? Or did we go, well, the first year that we were there, was that the first year in Bartle?
I thought the first year we were there was the first year in Bartle, but I could be wrong there.
Regardless, the amount that it has grown, especially
it's grown
in the last 5 years,
crazy big, right,
is ridiculous. But I mean, I had a really good time. I mean, what was everyone's, obviously Stan Lee was there and he drove a ton of traffic. But what was everyone's highlights, I guess, from the weekend?
I just saw people coming by my table. Like I'm hidden behind there. You know, I rarely get out and do a whole lot of walkabouts. But you know, I had a blast, and you know, it was great to see everybody that, you know, came by the table and everything. It's always good to see, you know, repeat faces and new people as well. So that's fantastic. And being from Kansas City, doing a Kansas City show, it's always great to see the people that, you know, you live nearby, but never see because everyone's holed up making comics and doing all that kind of stuff, you know? So that's always great.
Yeah, no, I would be. I'm right on that same realm, Scott. We had this was the first show that Project Nerd Publishing had all of our books out for sale for people to see, to pick up and hold in their hands. And so I was at our table most of the weekend, and it's awesome to see people pick up something that, you know, they haven't heard about. They're, you know, it's the first time anyone's talked to them about it, and to let them know a little bit about the story and see them go, yeah, that's awesome. I want to read that. So that was very cool. And we were right next to a bunch of the folks that did the writing and drawing for our books. And so we got to hang out with CW Cook and Brett Jones and Brian Timmons. They were all right there next to us. And so joking around with those guys was always a blast.
Yeah, it was super fun. Like getting, I mean, obviously the publishing launch was a big stressful thing, but it went off really well. CW was there. A lot of our friends, John Holloway and the guys from Worst Comic Podcast Ever. We got to do our panels, even though I only made it to one of them, but a publishing panel, you and Iggy did a business panel that I heard was really well. And then we did our Broadcast Your Podcast one, which was fun as always. But it was
good. It just always turns into a ridiculous time.
I love it. That's my favorite. That's always my highlight of Planet Comic Con is doing that podcast. So I thought that was pretty cool. And we moderated a couple panels, did a really cool one on cover artists that had Tony Moore on it. Did one about people who'd written for Dark Horse. Colin Bunn was on that one, as was Matt Kent, who I love just because mind management is my jam. But it was fun. I mean, it's like he said, it's for Scott and me. It's nice to do, like, it's the local show still for me. Like, getting to see people you know, plus, you know, all the visitors and stuff like that. It's always a good time. And it's good for Kansas City, you know.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I mean, seeing this show grow, you know, I was dumb and didn't really go to many of these back in the day, you know, and I think my first one I went to, the first Planet I went to, was maybe 5 or 6 years ago when it was still out in Overland Park Convention Center. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, why am I not doing this? You know, I'm a dumb person. Like, what am I like doing with my whole, like, I, you know, and I love comics and I love, you know, drawing and making them. And I was like, you know, and really it was you know, kind of a funny story, but at that show was when I met some people, you know, that were doing comics and were like, hey, you should come hang out with us because you seem like a nice human being that's not an insane person. And, you know, come hang out and, you know, we'd have a drawing group and you come chill out with us. And I met a whole bunch of people through there. Just by talking to guys, you know, when I was at that show. And, you know, it was kind of a lot of that was really got me started on doing all of my stuff. So Planet, right?
Indeed. And, I mean, for those of you who aren't aware, obviously our guest Scott is a artist and illustrator extraordinaire.
Oh, right. I should probably say who
I am. But we can, I feel like some people, I mean, we definitely have had you on the site before, but Volume 2 of Night Smoke is up on the old Kickstarter right now. We got what, 2-3 weeks left of that?
That's true. Yeah, I think it's as of right now, this recording, it's 17 days. So I assume it'll be a couple days from now when this gets posted. But yeah, so probably 2 weeks on it. If you go to nightsmokecomic.com/Kickstarter, it'll redirect you directly over there. Or you can, of course, search for Night Smoke, one word, on the Kickstarter.com site. But yeah, it's been great. We just passed the halfway point over the Memorial Day weekend. So that's been awesome. And you know, it's, you know, just, you know, kind of putting it all together to kind of tell everybody about, you know, what it's about. It's kind of this boy meets girl, everything goes terribly wrong, superpower story, kind of a young adult thing. And he basically, you know, the kid, the main character, David, gets the power to shift his molecular density and change his smoke, fly around, do all that kind of fun stuff. So this is the second book that I'm you know, doing right now. The first one I did through Kickstarter 2 years ago, I think. So then this is the follow-up to that. And this one's, you know, super action-packed and got a lot of crazy stuff going on, and I'm really excited about it. And I hope that you will be too when you look it up.
I mean, I really enjoyed Volume 1, and I think Volume 2 looks cool, so everyone should definitely back it.
Thank you.
Nightsmokecomic.com or Kickstarter/Nightsmoke?
Nightsmokecomic.com/Kickstarter will direct you straight to the Kickstarter. Obviously, if you want to read the thing, it's a webcomic too, so nightsmokecomic.com will have the whole story from Volume 1 on. So you can start there. And if you like it, you know, I'd really appreciate you guys, you know, picking up the book or, you know, getting the PDFs or all that kind of stuff. I've also got like prints from the, you know, issues, because I put out issues of different parts of the story, kind of to have things that shows. So we got big prints, 11 by 17 prints of the issues, covers, which are going to look awesome. And there's even one reward where, like, you get to be in the book. So I've got this, like, exclusive epilogue that'll only be at the back of this book. And basically, I will draw you as a, you know, character in the story that basically finishes up the book and kind of ties a nice little bow on it and introduces what's going to happen in the next one.
That's pretty awesome. Tyler, you muted yourself and we started talking.
It's really funny because I thought I had muted myself and apparently I had not. But regardless, yeah, like, why wouldn't you not want to be a sweet character in a comic book? Everyone should get to Kickstarter and back this immediately.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, and spoiler alert, like, you might have to kill someone or be killed if you back at that level, just FYI. But that's pretty cool with that. I don't want anyone to be like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a fun, hunky-dory, no problems ending. No, that's not how anything works.
Not so much.
That's like how comic book endings work, guys. Come on.
I mean, but if you do get killed, you may only stay dead for, what, a week or two?
Yeah, that's you'll true. Be back, right? Yeah,
exactly. You know, because things in comics don't necessarily stay.
Unless your Uncle Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Somehow Gwen made it out.
That's true. He's really the only one. Like, all the rule used to be, like, you no one's ever dead in comics except for, you know, Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy and Bucky. And all of them ended up coming back except for poor Uncle Ben.
I mean, I guess it's a lot. See, I'm waiting for, like, the Uncle Gwen, where Gwen is Uncle Ben or something. Like, that. Like, that's,
I understand that it's crazy popular and I'm all of a big fan of, you know, more women comic book characters, but I've never been able to wrap my head around. I haven't read a lot of Spider-Man comics recently, but what or how Spider-Gwen is or why? Is it just part of the whole ultimate, like, when they did the battle world, no. they stitched all the different realities together, or what was happening?
No, it was before all that. So I love Spider-Man, as you can't tell from the way that I draw and, you know, and having a young adult comic book the way that I do. But basically, this is all part of the Spider-Verse stuff. So there was, like, this you know, group of people that were going through multiverses and killing all the spider people, Spider-Man, Spider, you know, whoever, like, all these crazy different ones. And it was kind of during all the Superior Spider-Man storyline that it happened. And they were floating around to grab all these weird different, you know, Spider-Men from these different times. So, like, that's why Peter Porker is showing up and all this other weird stuff. You know, and they've got, like, the 60s animated TV series Spider-Man, which is pretty funny to see. And, you know, so they're basically trying to collect this army of multiverse Spider-Men. And so that was the Spider-Verse book, or Edge of the Spider-Verse book, where they did, like, Spider-Man Noir and, you know, Spider-Gwen.
I love Spider-Man Noir.
Right. Like, so that, you know, like, all that kind of stuff is, you know, pulled together in this one storyline. Spider-Gwen was just, like, one of the ones they wanted to make. And it was like, I was reading some stuff about it. They didn't even expect that one to be the big hit. They expected the little mech one, if you guys seen that, which is a super cool issue if you haven't read that one. I think it's number 3 or 4 of the Edge of the Spider-Verse ones. But it's like this little Asian girl in an awesome spider mech suit. And it's super cool. But they thought that was going to be the big breakout one. And Spider-Gwen ended up being the big one, obviously, we know today.
And then that brought us to Gwenpool. So
right.
That's a thing now, too.
And I did a Gwenpool sketch cover over the weekend, which was awesome because then I got to read the book.
Gwenpool everything. Let's do it.
Oh, no.
A Gwen version of every character now.
Right. Well, you know, and here's the thing too, like, Gwenpool shouldn't work. Like, that's a ridiculous concept, right? Like, I mean, and I think that was because they did all those different covers of, you know, Gwen being on every single thing, right? Like, so there was, like, Gwen Thor or whatever. And, like, she was just on every cover for, like, a month, which is a fun, you know, variant cover thing to do. But then they're just like, well, let's just make this Gwenpool one. and what's his name? Hastings, Christopher Hastings is doing the writing on it. And I forget who that is on art. But, oh my gosh. It is like it's like a violent Saturday morning TV show. And it's so much fun, and it has no right to be that much fun, but it's awesome. Like I was really blown away by how much fun that comic was. And then I had to draw the cover on it, so it worked out.
It's fantastic. I mean, I guess if we're going to be on comics and we're going to talk about, you know, odd character choices in comics, since the last time we recorded, there's been a bit of a, I would say not even bit, there's been a bit of a firestorm in Marvel.
Can we call it a disturbance in the force?
Brouhaha?
A brouhaha? Yeah. Firestorm. A bit of a tussle, if you will, over apparently Captain America shouting Hail Hydra and kicking a guy out of an airplane and or helicopter and it going on from there. So people not so happy about evil Hydra Captain America.
Yeah, gosh. I'll say this first. So I'm awful and haven't read the issue yet. So here are my completely uninformed opinions.
Okay. I don't know if you've ever listened to the Nerdcast, but we are super pro.
Right. Yeah. Just say whatever you want to say. You don't even have to qualify it for us.
Perfect. I just want everyone to know that these are my super uninformed opinions because I haven't read the issue. But here's the thing. Like, you know, just talking about, you know, as I was talking about a second ago, the Spider-Man stuff, like this reminds me so much of Superior Spider-Man, right? Everyone freaked the heck out about Superior. They were like, oh, they killed off Peter Parker, you know, now Doc Ock's in his body. Oh my, you know, and I'm sure Dan Slott got all sorts of death threats for that and all this horrible, you know, stuff. Everyone's, you know, just yelling at him on the internet. And yeah, no, it's a great comic. Like Superior is awesome. Like that took some really interesting turns. It's kind of an interesting, like post 9/11, you know, super surveillance, you know, theme to the whole thing. And it's really interesting. I really enjoyed, you know, the run. But
as a Spider-Man fan, I wanted to be mad about Superior Spider-Man. But Doc Ock as Spider-Man was so good.
It was so good. Like, it had no, yeah, like, I really enjoyed it. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it was just a different take on it. And it was, you know, it seemed sort of like a different, like a, you know, an other world thing. Like, you know, like, oh, Red Sun, you know, Superman being all like, oh, what if he landed in Russia? Like, it seemed like kind of like that for a little bit. But like, you know, like that it was in the continuity. But at the same point, like, that kind of stuff is interesting. And if you want to, like, take that over back to Captain America, right? Like, let's see where it goes. Like, I can't judge everything by the last two, three pages of an issue. You got to see it in the section, and then the whole of the continuity of the run, right? I don't know. Like, I just get so mad about people like being like, oh, I read 20 pages of a, you know, 200 page story, and I know everything about it now. Well, no, you know, I'm sorry.
Not only do you know everything about it, but you hate it, and you need to make sure that everyone knows how much you hate it.
You hate
That's
it.
That's the thing. Like, it's an interesting choice, and I'm curious to see where it goes and how long it lasts. But at the same time, it's one issue out of how many ever in this storyline we're going to go down. If not even that, it's one panel. I mean, there's the whole, in the issue, there's this backstory that tries to fill in the blanks of, like, Steve's mom was recruited by Hydra and blah, blah, blah. Right. He's been in it from the beginning. But at the same time, like, there's so many, I mean, it's Captain America, the number of weird, crazy things that have happened to him between.
He was a werewolf.
He got shot, and he got shot by his girlfriend who was under mind control by the Red Skull who was possessing another guy, but he didn't really get shot. He got unstuck in time, blah, blah, blah. And then this one, he's been an old man for the last like year or so. He like just got powers back, and he was given to them by some crazy, sadistic, powerful girl who probably maybe had something to do with this. I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Right, well, I'm just waiting for, like, you know, I think the funniest twist on it would be if, like, the next issue, like, the guy's like, wait, what? And he goes, Hail Hydra, and it's in quotes. And he's like, that's what that guy said to me, so that's why I kicked him out of the plane. That'd be the funniest, like, everyone's, like, you know, going crazy over something that was like, oh, no, this is just a cliffhanger that we're going to immediately resolve.
The only thing that has been amazing about it has been the Captain America Hail Hydra panel like memes that have come up since.
That's true.
Of all the pictures of him and then people filling it in with other comments that they feel would be just as angering, and they've been brilliant.
Right, like Batman being like, I killed my parents, or I shot my parents, or whatever, or like, you know, like Spider-Man being like, I hate power and responsibility.
Yeah, it's been like the fill-in gaps. I mean, the fill-in Photoshops have been pretty entertaining. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's going to change just like every other thing in comics changes. Anytime they make some crazy ass backwards move, it gets turned around within a couple issues or so, or explained away or something like that. It's not like we ever have retcon.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, even if it doesn't, like, right. Like, even if it's fine, like, I don't know, like, I feel like you can just still move forward. Right. Like you can, it doesn't matter anything. Yeah. I shot my parents. There you go. I can see the whole time. Yeah. But like even if they're like, you know, I was kind of looking forward to seeing the whole Sam Wilson Captain America with Steve as like the older gentleman who's, you know, being more of a Nick Fury. Kind of like that whole thing. I know they've got to like sell the movies or whatever, but like I thought that was really cool. But at the same time, like if they're gonna do different weird stuff, I think they just go for it, right? Like don't be. Pussyfoot around it.
No, I'm with you exactly. Like, I'm all for people voicing their opinion. I guess I don't really have any problem with that, but I think you got to let it play out first because you never know where comics are going to go. They go lots of different directions, and we, as comic book fans, know that anything can change, and you know, probably will change, and does change. So. I think everybody just needs to take a collective breath and pause for a little bit and like you guys have said, kind of see where this one goes.
I just don't, yeah, there's just no reason for anyone to freak out and, you know, send death threats or like write horrible things on the internet. Like, I don't know. That just makes me crazy.
Well, I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes from here, to see if they just keep going deeper down the rabbit hole and just send people into a full-on like foaming mouth frenzy, or if it gets explained away within the next issue or two. So
right, I mean, or you know, I mean, I think it'd be really interesting if he had to like do some double agent stuff, right? Like he's like, oh yeah, my mom got turned into Hydra or whatever when I was young, and okay, now I'm gonna do some crazy double agent and I learned about it, so I'm gonna say, oh, my mom was cool. And you know, like I think that's interesting stuff. Like if he's gotta like, you know, delve deep into like, you know, Hydra and, you know, fall, and I'm like, oh yeah, and now he's like, you know, trying to play both angles. That's super interesting to me. Like, I don't know. I've been I've been introducing my girlfriend to Young Justice, the old school, I guess not, you know, that old school, but the cartoon, because it's on Netflix, season 2 is on Netflix. And there's that whole thing with kind of the double agent stuff in the second 8 season. And it's really good. And I'm like, oh man, I love that kind of like two steps ahead of you storytelling. And I'm just excited to see where they go with it.
Yeah, and I think it's also kind of crazy that they haven't done this before.
Right, that's true too.
That comic's been going for a really long time. Like, how is nobody, I mean, and maybe it's the people at Marvel that were like, no, you can't do that. Like, right. There are certain things you can't do. You can't bring Uncle Ben back, and you can't make Captain part of Hydra. But, you know, It seems like a natural idea with so many characters having been on both sides of different struggles at different times and that kind of stuff, that it would be a natural growth, the natural place for Cap to go.
Guys, I feel like this is really good. I feel like we're on the verge of having an awesome Marvel pitch. We're going to have, right? Comes back. He was Hydra the whole time. And Uncle Ben, yeah, here we go.
This Uncle is Ben comes back and explains wait, you took all this from that I said when I was drunk that one night? Like, from with great power comes, what the fuck does that even mean?
That doesn't mean anything to anybody.
You've based your whole life around that Cracker Jack fortune I gave you? What the hell, Peter? Get your shit together. Why are you not a millionaire already?
Well, he does have the whole company now in the new ones. I don't know if you guys are up to date on Amazing. I'm a couple of months. I do the Unlimited. I'm bad. I do the yearly subscription to the Unlimited for all the Marvel stuff, just because I'm like, I can't spend all the money on the floppies. It's so bad. There's just too many that I read now.
So much Marvel stuff to keep up on.
Oh my gosh. I know it. There's so much craziness. Like, I mean, Squirrel Girl, Howard the Duck, and all, you know, Amazing, and all that kind of stuff. It's just, there's so much stuff. And then I love all the old back issues too. I started reading Amazing just from number one, you know, Amazing Spider-Man. And like, I think I got to like around issue like 30 or 35. And I was like, these are weird. These are weird books.
Well, we talked a little bit in the interview we did at C2E2, Scott, but I'm just starting to get into reading comics. And, and you know, it's hard to, you know, for as a kid and as an adult, it's been tough to find, you know, find this book or find this, where this run starts and that kind of stuff. And it's always kind of intimidating to get into it. But the, some of those subscription services, those unlimited services and stuff like that would make it much easier. And so I've considered doing them. I haven't quite pulled the trigger on it yet because over the summer we go to so many conventions that I've been picking up trades.
Oh yeah, for
so
sure.
I can read through stuff. I get C2E2, I got Batman the Long Halloween and
great book.
First volume.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I got the fifth volume of Saga on my nightstand, and I'm like, I'm gonna read you soon so I can then get all cut up when the sixth comes out.
Yeah, I picked up volume two at Planet and I read that, like, I got back a Monday night. I had finished it by Wednesday.
That's so good.
I should have just got volume three as well. I don't know why I waited, but
yeah, you just buy the rest of them because you're not going to stop reading them. Like, you're just going to keep reading. You're going to be super mad at yourself for not having them all right in front of you.
That's where I'm at, yes.
and just like binge read, you know, just like have a nice afternoon, just sit outside, get yourself a glass of iced tea, the lemon, and just like binge Saga. And it's going to be incredible. Like, that's, I wish I could have that afternoon.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, man. I think the best part about trades too, I mean, I love about them is you can just lend them to people. Like, you know, I love doing comics, but they're, you know, it's not my a full-time gig yet. Yet being the keyword, but you know, the best part about trades is that, you know, when I start talking to comics about comics with people, I'd be like, oh, do you want to read this? Oh, do you want to read this? Oh, you know, just give them. I start like shoving trades in their arms, you know. So I do that with coworkers, and then I get to talk with coworkers about, you know, oh man, you just finished The Wicked and Divine. That's fantastic. Like, let's talk about the end of that book. Like, that book, crazy, you know, and, or, you know, Sex Criminals. I love that book, you know, and talk about, you know, oh man, end of the second trade. That's some crazy stuff that happens there, you know? And I'm like, it's so good. But, you know, that's the thing I like about trades, but, you know, I would absolutely recommend the subscription stuff too.
Iggy and I definitely do that with Adam at comic book shows. Like, we'll go to a booth that has a bunch of boxes of like half off trades. Mm-hmm. He'll be going through them and saying out names of things he's seen. And we're like, oh no, you have to get that. And we'll hand him like a pile of 10. Mm-hmm. We'll buy like one of them. But I also do the same thing with Adam when it comes to, I can only do it to Adam because I'm the only one he'll
be like, any other books. Yes.
I'll do it with actual novels. Like, I sent you home with what, two or three from Planet Comic Con?
Two, and I picked up a third one on my own. I went and got the first book of the Give me the Liza Locke Lamora.
Oh my God. First Gentleman Bastards book by Scott Lynch. So good. You need to read that. They just announced the release date of the fourth book, The Thorn of Emberlane. So I'm going to need you to get caught up real quick.
I'll do my best. I just finished The Passage last night and I'm starting the 12. I'm already a week behind on City of Mirrors.
So I have City of Mirrors sitting in the other room. I can't start it yet because I feel like I need to, I don't know if I need to reread The Passage, but I definitely need to reread the 12.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And I wanted to fully catch up on the trilogy. It's been a couple of years since I'd read The Passage, and I'm really glad I read it. Gosh, I forgot how good that book is. You also sent me home with The Assassin's Apprentice.
Okay, so that's a rabbit hole right there, because there's three books there, because that's the that's the Assassin's Apprentice trilogy, or the Farseer trilogy, if you will. And then in that same world, following some of the same characters, the Tawny Man trilogy. And then there's also the Live Ship Traders trilogy, which is in the same world, but with very different characters. And then there's a new one called the Fool and Fitz trilogy that goes back to some of the obvious. Robin Hobb is very prolific, and there's a lot of things going on in that world, in the Farseer world, that you need to get on board with. But more importantly, I need you to get Liza Locke Lamora out of the way. And then Red Seas Under Red Skies, you need to knock that one out. And then what's the third one? I'm super upset that I can't, what is the third one? Something Republic of Thieves. The Republic of Thieves is the third one.
That makes sense.
And then the fourth one, will be the Thorn of Emberlane, which he announced is definitely, coming out soon. So.
Soon, is this like a George R. R. Martin soon?
He actually tweeted like an actual like release date, because Lies of Locke Lamora came out in 2006, Red Seas Under Red Skies came out in 2007, and then Scott Lynch had some like personal problems in his life, battling with depression, divorce. So then Republic of Thieves didn't come out until 2013. So there was a 6-year gap between 2 and 3. But Thorn of Emberlane is, he just announced. He just announced on his Twitter just the other day that it is going to come out in September of this year, possibly. Yeah, September of this year. So, okay,
so I've got. All right. I'll work on those once I finish the Passage trilogy, because I need to know what happens at the end of those books.
Yeah, I need to finish those pretty badly. God. Not even the end of the Passage, but the scene where they catch up with like the militia in the Passage. Like, I threw the book down and stopped and left the room. I couldn't do it. When they show up and catch up and he realizes that she's like taking the oath and shit like that. Like, I'm
fine. Oh, when it would you not that she was taking it. She had taken it.
That she had already taken it. Like, it was game over. There's very few times I've been that like physically angry at a book, like I just had to set it down and walk away.
Because they're building that story that whole time. You're just like, it's going to happen.
Knew it was coming.
You know it's going to happen.
I was so angry.
Yep.
But yeah, just the story is I make Adam read things for my pleasure so that I can then talk to him about
them. I'm so bad about reading like books. Like, I'm terrible at it. Like, not that like my eyes are like physically like, you know, it's like I'm either reading comics or I'm making them, or I try to do like the audiobooks. I just get so distracted. I've been reading like Way of Kings for
good choice.
Now. God, it's so good.
The second one isn't quite as good as the first one, but it's still so good. Brandon Sanderson, though, blows my mind. The amount he comes out with like 10 goddamn books a year. Okay. He's so prolific. But this Way of Kings, the Stormlight Archive is what it's called.
Yeah.
There's going to be something else.
I am so excited about it. Like, I love that series. I love that kind of D&D. Obviously, that's more of like a... What's the other D&D setting? The one where it's all the desert and like the magic's not really like, it's kind of a,
oh yeah, yeah.
What's that setting called?
I know what you're talking about, but I can't think of it.
Oh, it's like Dune something. Oh my gosh. Dark Sun.
Dark Sun. Yeah.
I love that kind of like Dark Sun feel that it's got, and like, oh, it's so cool.
Well, and what's his name? Mythology. Sanderson's world building is out there. Wow, like, it's between insane. The Mistborn. I mean, because he's, with a few exceptions, all of his books take place in the same like universe, but on different like planets. So between the Mistborn, Warbreaker, Elantris, and then these books, the Stormlight Archive, like just all over the place. Because like he's got the new prequel trilogy, or like not prequel, like 3,000 year later sequel series of Mistborn that I've been reading. That's okay. It's not as good, I don't think, as original Mistborn. Even Mistborn's not that great, but I love, like, he's talking about an Elantra sequel. He's also got the Rhythmatist series that he started. Plus, he's got the Reckoners one that's like the superhero one that he's, hey, I don't know how he writes so damn much, I honestly.
Yeah,
not to mention that he finished, you know, Wheel of Time after it had been running for like 20 some years.
Right.
He did a decent job of wrapping up all the loose ends. Like, he didn't really get Matt, which upset me a little bit, but I mean, he finished it and I was happy.
Yeah, I've been really loving the one book I am reading.
He writes a lot of things.
But
you do read comic, and as someone who is our, on today's episode, the resident comic book guy, I do have a serious question to ask you, because I have not, I am a Marvel guy, but I have not been diligent in keeping up in my Marvel comics. How are you feeling? Because we're recording this, for people to know, we're recording this on Tuesday. It'll go up on Wednesday. It'll go up on Friday. But tomorrow is the quote-unquote official launch of Marvel's Civil War 2.
Oh, the books.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
You know, I haven't really been keeping up with that one. The Battle World stuff has been really weird and all kind of all over the place, and it's kind of hit or miss. Like, some of the stuff I really liked, like A-Force has been a lot of fun, and the Runaways book was a lot of fun, the Noel Stevenson one. Noel, I don't know. I'm so, like, I read these people's names online and I don't know how to pronounce them when I say them aloud. But that was a lot of fun. And there's some that I really have enjoyed. But the whole like actual Civil War II, like I don't know what everyone's deal is. I haven't really been following it. I feel so bad.
Well, now it's team Iron Man versus team Captain Marvel.
And I love that. Like, I love her. Like, you know, I really enjoyed the whole Captain Marvel book. You know, when that came out, and I've been kind of going through and following that. But I skip around a lot.
Yeah. Apparently, it's all based around. Marvel doesn't like the comparison, but it's all based around a very Philip K. Dick idea, in that there's a new Inhuman who can see the future with great precision, and basically their minority report of, like, should we stop giant cataclysms before they happen? And Captain Marvel's all, like, totally pro it. And apparently for the first time ever, like, Tony Stark's not taking, like, the dick role in this one.
Yeah, let's prevent all crimes by murdering people. That's interesting. I'm surprised that she would be on that side.
Surprised too, because apparently Captain America's on her side too, as is like Winter Soldier and Spider-Man, Vision, a bunch of other.
Yeah, that makes sense. I really like the Phil Noto cover of Ms. Marvel, the new Kamala Khan cover, where she's ripping a photo of Captain Marvel up.
Here's the two promotional team portraits.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like the current Captain Marvel, so it's been a lot of fun. So I'm curious to see where they go with this one.
Ah, it's a good book. I'm so excited for that movie. I'm so excited for her to become. I mean, she's already, like, obviously comics mainstream, right? Like, I mean, you know, but like, I just want everyone to know about her. As silly as that is, like, a friend of mine, you know, last year at Planet was like, who, you know, and she's this cute girl who's got like super short blonde hair. And she's like, I want to dress up as somebody. I was like, oh, I know who you're dressing up as. You're going to be Captain Marvel. She's like, who? I'm like, oh no, here we go. Here, let me give you things. But yeah, so she made herself like a whole, you know, little Captain Marvel cosplay, which is cool. But man, I'm just so excited for like her to become that new Wonder Woman character that every kid knows, because I feel like she has that potential, right?
I think so. I think she's so good as Captain Marvel. I mean, Carol Danvers has always been a fun character, but I'm curious to see where they go with this one. So,
yeah, like, I think that, like, you know, and like the whole thing with the cats, you know, being aliens in that book too, like, that was so much fun and so silly. And I don't know, like, I think that, like, there's just a really good tone to that book, and I'm super surprised that they turned that around to have her be the bad guy, or I guess not bad guy, but just on that side.
Yeah. And I haven't been reading the Ultimates, but I've heard that Ultimates has been really good with her as like the one in charge of that and doing like all the super cosmic space protection shit. So
yeah, that's cool. I'll have to pick those up. I'll have to put that on my list of stuff that I read. The problem with that Marvel app is that like once you start reading a bunch of stuff, it doesn't do a good job of reminding you what to come back to. So it's like all like you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna read this until like, oh okay, I guess I'm caught up. And then I go to read something else for like a couple weeks and it doesn't tell me, oh hey, a new one of the book you like is out. And I'm like, ah, oh, come on, app. I paid like $70 a year for this thing.
Yeah, that seems like low hanging fruit for an app.
Right. Like to tell me, hey,
that's like what it should do first and foremost is remind right. Books yeah. Come out.
Like, tell me, give me the quote unquote subscription, right? Of when the thing comes out. So I continue to subscribe to this app. I don't know. I think it's mostly trying to get me to buy the new one, right? Like that's its ultimate goal is the, hey, spend $5 extra to get the next one. But all right. You know, I see what you're trying to do here. Which, you know, obviously for me is like, it's kind of like a, you know, with the whole, because I, you know, as a comic creator, I'm like, oh, I want people to purchase my things and, you know, provide for me being a person and eating and all that kind of stuff, you know, and get to that, you know, point of comic creation of, you know, making this really my livelihood. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, no, but I want to have it all for $9 a month. And I'm like, oh, there's, you know, a bit of a disconnect. And I'm aware I'm being a hypocrite. So. Let me just call myself out again, I guess.
Well, let's see. What else is going on? I guess we could probably touch on the old box office. I was going to go see the new X-Men movie. I did not do it. I had my first day off since Planet Comic-Con yesterday. So like 7 days straight, I couldn't. I was like, nope, I'm staying here on the couch. I'm going to play some Overwatch. I'm going to watch some TV. It's going to be good. But Adam went and saw it. So what'd you think?
I did go and see it. I actually really enjoyed it. So the wife and I went and saw it and checked it out. Came back. We were talking about it on the way back from the theater. I really liked it. I thought they did a good job balancing the seriousness of what they're talking about. Obviously, Apocalypse, you know, doing what he does and his name says. So, I mean, there's not really like spoiling anything there. but doing, you know, kind of balancing that with some of the lighter moments. I thought they did a really good job. I've always liked X-Men for that. Growing up, I didn't read a lot of comics. Certainly didn't read any comics really as a kid. But the X-Men TV show and video games and stuff like that, I always really, really enjoyed those. They were my favorite characters growing up. So I've always liked the movies and that kind of stuff. So I know I'm kind of a little bit biased probably when it comes to X-Men stuff. So I liked it a lot. I know I've seen a lot of reviews that just kind of say, well, you know, they made a movie and I guess I can see that. My wife's main complaint about it, she thought the storytelling was a little weak. Not so much the story itself, but the actual like words that they use while telling it. She thought that was a little weak and they kind of hold your hand a little too much. She thought, but I mean, if that's kind of your main complaint about a movie, I think they probably did all right. But I liked it. It looked fantastic. New Nightcrawler, I'm on board with.
So the one I've heard mixed things about it. Some people pro, some people con, but they definitely say that once again, as in the last one, Quicksilver's big scene just steals the show. Is that true? You're muted.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I was thinking of how I wanted to say that. Steals the show. It's pretty good. It is really pretty good.
Is it the best set piece of the movie? It was definitely the best set piece of Days of Future Past.
Gosh, it was.
That's really, really tough. There is a, for me, no, but I could, it's easily the most fun, that's for sure.
It's a big part though.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. The reveal at the end though, I think overshadows everything, just because it kind of like what it sets up for future X-Men movies that they could do. Yeah, for me, that's probably the best, but just in terms of raw, like scene for scene, it's probably the best, but it's not as exciting because it doesn't have
as much weight behind it. And
we've already kind of seen it before. We saw it in Days of Future Past, and they do basically the exact same thing where he's just some parts like he's moving regular speed and everything else is super slow. And other parts he's really fast and everything else is regular speed. So they do a good job of cutting back and forth, but it's pretty funny. And the payoff at the end of it is also pretty good.
I guess next question. I mean, where would you put it? I don't know. We'll start with where would you put it up against Days of Future Past and First Class?
That's a tough one. I actually really like both of those movies. And so it's probably better than, that's hard. I probably liked it more than First Class and maybe not as much as Days of Future Past.
Some bold statements there, my friend.
So you liked Future Past better than First Class?
I did. Yep. Oh,
I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
I was super pleasantly
surprised. Adam's pulling out the hot takes over here.
I was super pleasantly surprised by First Class. I did not expect much going in after the third X-Men movie, right? Like, I was like, oh, this is garbage again. You know, after the third X-Men movie and then after those two Wolverine, or I guess just the first Wolverine movie at that point, I was like, oh, I am done with these Fox movies. Like, get me out of here. You know, and so I admit I skipped it in the theater and just like watched it one day on Netflix or HBO or wherever. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. Like, I mean, some of the villain stuff was sort of like, didn't really have it. Like, you know, I could not tell you anything about, you know, what Kevin Bacon was trying to do. Like, I have no idea what his whole goal was, but like, just like seeing the, you know, the whole like Mad Men X-Men, I was like, yeah, this is cool. I was totally into that. Of course, you're watching a lot.
Yeah, I think I liked Future Past more than a lot of people did, but I definitely enjoyed First Class significantly more. Yeah. First Class, I don't know, maybe just because it was such a big surprise, like Scott said, like I was not expecting that coming.
I expected nothing from that movie.
So blown away with it.
Surprised.
And it's at that point, like, Fox didn't have to do much to make it better than the last, between Origins and The Last Stand. Like, that franchise was in the shitter, and they brought it back with First Class. And Future Past was not great, but I enjoyed it a lot, even though a lot of people didn't. It's not. But that's the other problem is I think Scott and I come from a different place from it, because Future Past is as good as it was. Days of Future Past is one of the most iconic, like, story. I mean, it's like the, like, X-Men storyline that you give people. Like, there's been some, and X-Men's not for everyone. Like, there's a lot of Marvel fans who aren't X-Men fans and X-Men fans who aren't Marvel fans, but X-Men have had some crazy convoluted storylines over the years, but Days of Future Past is one of, like, the big ones, and they definitely took some pretty crazy liberties with it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't have, you know, too much of a problem with, you know, I just feel like, you know, it just didn't feel like a cohesive story to me. It was just kind of all over the place.
Well, and it felt like parts of it were shoehorned in, because it was made half as a movie and half as a here's our in-universe justification for rebooting the entire franchise over again.
Right.
Like, we're going to make a movie that gives us the permission to start over making X-Men movies.
Yeah.
As opposed to like every other franchise is like, no, just forget we made those other ones. We're just making new ones now. Don't worry about it. They somehow felt the need that we had to justify it in a movie to then make more movies without any of the old actors.
Well, I mean, and you know what? Fair enough. Like, you know, I think that's a clever way to do that. You know, when you have a story that's built in
you know, like that's built, you know, the whole, you know, oh, everyone's clamoring for these classic X-Men stories to, you know, like, oh, why don't they make a Days of Future Past movie? Like, what are you guys doing? Why are you making Wolverine Origins? No one cares about that. Whatever, you know, why don't you make a date? You know, like, oh, okay, well, we will. And in the process, we erase all that garbage and you don't have to worry about that anymore. And we're going to put Sophie Turner as Jean Grey and it's going to be great. And I'm excited about seeing that. I'm not going to lie. I love her.
She did a good job, and
I'm so excited.
And they definitely, I think, do justice to Jean Grey.
Good. Like, I'm excited about seeing that kind of stuff. Like, if they, and I don't know anything about, you know, any setup, but I really want to see her, you know, lose it and do some Phoenix stuff. Like, that'd be so cool, right? Like I think that'd be a blast if they could pull all that off. Like, and then that, you know. The thing is, okay, I really want it to tie into the Marvel Studios stuff, though. Like, I want them to, like, so, like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, gosh, I hope this doesn't do well. So they'll have to do what Sony does and, like, lease those characters to Marvel Studios and then get, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy to roll over and, you know, hang out with Jean Grey running around doing the Phoenix stuff. Like, how awesome would that be? It'd be super awesome.
Yeah. I'm also curious how deep down the Phoenix rabbit hole they would go. Because I haven't seen the movie, but yet apparently the post-credits sequence hints at another iconic... I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it hints at another iconic X-Men villain who could then, you know, usher in parts of things that were byproducts of the Phoenix saga, specifically Madeline Pryor and possibly Cable, Nathan Summers, and all that sort of, because like that Phoenix rabbit hole is deep, and it goes way deep, and we can start dealing with the Shi'ar and the Kree, right. And then next thing you know, we've got like Hope Summers and House of M, and just shit's getting real. Bastion, I mean, I don't know.
I'd love to see Hope. Like, it would be super cool. And like at the end of the Deadpool, he's like, "Oh, we're putting Cable in the next movie. I don't know how we're gonna do it. That's what we're gonna do."
I want to see a screenwriter try on a screen in 2.5 hours explain. Okay, so here's the deal: we've got this guy, and then we have this clone of this other girl, and then together they're going to have a child. But then that child's going to get kidnapped. Some crazy shit's going to happen to it, but then they're going to get the child back. But just when they think everything's good, to save the child and the world, they're going to need to send that child thousands of years into the future. Then to help that child grow up, we're going to take the consciousness of the two people who may or may not have been his parent, actually his parent. And then the person from whom the other parent was cloned, send their consciences into the future to then raise the child. But then they're going to die. And then he's going to have to continue to live in the path or future by himself. And then he's going to come back to the past as a giant hulking badass of a man with a giant metal arm and just fuck shit up.
I feel like, yeah, that's just the
intro. Like, and the sad thing about it is like, that's Cable's story sounds convoluted. And when it's all said and done, Cable has one of the simpler origins of
Well, it's funny because they'll just do it like you did, but it'll be like the opening credits. Like it'll be the
little Rocky montage.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It'll just be 4 minutes of here's what happened. Here's the people that it happened to. And we're done. Ready to go.
So I know this is what they got to do. It makes sense to do it in a Deadpool movie. So all you have to do is just have Deadpool explain that to the audience, right? Like
have Deadpool do a little flip book, but illustrated like he did that crayon drawing in the
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or and like, have a flip book. Let me tell you who Cable is, and then she pulls up a flip book and like flips through it. And
right, yeah, like that's the only way to do it. Like, let me explain to you this guy's origin because I can fourth wall do this, and this you're gonna think it's really funny, and I'll just make jokes the whole time, and it's gonna be hilarious.
I mean, say what you will about like Deadpool and his oversaturation and sometimes some of like the least important character traits of him becoming the ones that people latch onto the most because they're not Deadpool right. fans. But God damn it, the 50 issues of Cable versus Deadpool or Cable and Deadpool are my favorite comic books of all time. I love those 50 issues. They're so good.
It's fun stuff, man. Here's the thing. I was like, you know, I don't know. Deadpool's never really been my favorite, right? Like that. I'm not, you know, that's not really my book. I'm not a huge Punisher fan. I'm not a big Deadpool fan. It's just not my kind of go-to for that kind of stuff. But, you know, and but I ended up buying that movie on, you know, the Apple TV because I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, we'll see it. We'll watch it. We'll do this, you know. And my girlfriend actually was the one that was like, because I was like, you're not going to like this movie. Like, I'll you know, she liked Ant-Man a lot, you know, and she went to, with me to Guardians and, you know, had a fine time. And I was like, you're not going to like Deadpool. Like, straight up, like, I know. And she doesn't like crass movies. And I was like, this is not what you want to watch.
Well, I don't know if you listen to his voiceover at the beginning, but at first and foremost, Deadpool is a love story.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I ended up talking to her about how much she's going to hate this movie so much that she finally was like, I want to watch this movie. And so we did. So I bought it on because I was like, I'm not going to rent it for $8. I'll just buy it for 15 bucks or whatever.
That's money well spent, buddy.
Right. Because I'm like, I'm going to watch it again. And so I'm not going to not watch this movie. And we both watched it. We both really enjoyed it. Like, I was like, I cannot believe how much I enjoyed this movie. Like, it's not really my favorite thing, but, like, man, we were laughing out loud, like, rolling around. It was so much fun.
And actually, my wife and I just watched that again today. Like, we were sitting down trying to figure out what we were going to watch, and I pulled out a bunch of movies from our collection, and we go through. So I'll pull out a bunch of movies that I feel like watching or that I'm in the mood for, and she'll go through and she'll push one in because we're not going to watch that one. And then I'll push one in. We'll kind of get down to one left, and we kept pushing a movie in and kept pushing a movie in, and Deadpool ended up being it, and we watched it. Oh my gosh. I was like, it's probably the fourth or fifth time we've seen it. We saw it two or three times in the theater, and then it's been the fourth or fifth time we watched it since we bought it. And it's still good.
It's so much fun. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to like harp on it too much, but like, yeah, like I just having that kind of movie be that much fun, like that hyper violent and that, you know, that type of humor is just like, oh man. Like, I mean, some of it's not really my taste, and like, you know, the quote unquote low random stuff is not really where I, you know, fit into that spectrum, but I expected the whole movie to be a lot of that, and it wasn't. And I was surprised with it.
All right, well, you heard it here first. Age of Apocalypse gets the Adam seal of approval, so go check it out. I really want to see it, but I also really want to see The Nice Guys. I don't know which one I should make time for first.
Double feature, buddy. Double feature.
I don't know. We'll see. I have a day off again tomorrow, so maybe I'll be able to catch one of them. So we'll see what happens. Just a quick hit, just while we're on movies. We didn't get a chance to talk about it because we didn't do a post-con show in the one before. It hadn't ended yet, but I did make a stunning comeback in the spring season of Fantasy Movie League and destroyed everyone and came in first. So all is right with the world again.
Destroyed is a really, really strong term considering Anne was winning going into the last week.
Yes, but then I crushed her in week 12 by $11 million to take the final tally by a solid like $9 million. And I also finished the season with twice as many wins, weekly wins, as anyone else. So I'm just saying.
Congratulations.
And week one of the summer has now come and gone, and I took that one. You put up a little bit of a fight there for a second.
Yeah, we were close. $1.5 million between us after week one. So that's
also another news.
Looks like it's going to be tight.
Another news: we're renaming the league the Ann, Adam, and Tyler League because no one else is playing apparently anymore. So.
Nope.
Well,
is there a site you guys use for this? Because
fantasymovieleague.com. It's like fantasy baseball or football, but instead of picking players, you pick movies each week with a certain amount of dollars to spend and try to get the highest box office total.
I like that idea a lot.
It's a lot.
We got to get Scott in on this then.
Yeah.
Scott, join our league.
You have to join our league.
I will get way too into it and then be really bad.
Well, I mean, if you're going to get into it, I need you to understand that, number one, I always win. And I talk mads amount of shit as I do it.
That's perfect. I will always lose, and I will also talk mads amount of shit. I got roped into a fantasy baseball league recently. I mean, we're Kansas City guys, so you know, Royals. You know,
we won 10-5 just a little bit ago. So, But apparently, because we're all dropping like flies, Brett
Eibner got hurt.
Brett Eibner left with an injury, so I'm not real happy about that.
I know. I'm not happy about it either. I'm really because he was like, oh my gosh,
he's killing it. I mean, he's not. He's no Whit Merrifield, because Whit Merrifield is batting like 350 and averaging like two hits a game. So
it's so crazy town. But like he had that, you know, he has just that award winning smile. Like he just looks at you and you're like, oh,
Eibner's got, he's got that mane too. He's got hair for days. It's just,
oh man.
I mean, after, I mean, it's not the best hair on the team because that obviously goes to Drew Patera, but it's close. So
yeah,
I'm going to need you guys to reel in the man crushes a little here. Fellas.
I got a Hosmer haircut once they won the World Series last year. I totally did. It was on my KCCC profile. You can look it up right now if you go to, you know, the Kansas City Comic Con, not Planet, but Kansas City Comic Con coming up. They've got my picture up there. That's, you know, my KCCC or my Hosmer haircut. It's like a mohawk. It looks awful. It's hilarious.
It's tough to pull off, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, yeah, last year I was like, if we win the World Series, I'm going to get this haircut.
All right, well, we should probably wrap up. We've been doing this for a solid hour now. But does anyone have any final thoughts before we shut this down? Adam, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and go first. So you guys know, everyone who listens to us knows I'm a huge Metal Gear Solid fan. I've already brought up Konami and Hideo Kojima once in this podcast, so... I'm a fan. Let's put it that way. Metal Gear Solid 5 came out to amazing reviews. I played a bunch of it and really enjoyed it. Did not realize how big this game actually is. So a lot of other really good games came out around the same time that I ended up playing through as well, and never bothered to finish Metal Gear Solid 5, which is shocking to me when I look back on it. So I'm back into playing Metal Gear Solid 5. If you haven't played this game or finish this game, definitely go pick it up. Really, really enjoyable. Super, super fun. I got to what I thought was the end of the game and I was kind of like, what the heck? This is, you know, I'm a little upset because there's a lot of unanswered questions, not the end of the game. So, there was more to it, and, I'm going to be playing it pretty much all weekend. My wife is going to a conference out of town for work. And so I have all day tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to play. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. So go play some video games, guys. There's lots of good stuff out there. New DLC for Fallout 4, supposed to be quite good. If you have Fallout on your PC, there is a mod that is bigger than all of the Fallout DLCs that have come out so far. So you should check that out as well. We've got a great talk about it on projectnerd.com. Reed kind of gives us a breakdown of what's going on there. So lots of good video game stuff right now, guys. Check it out. It's the summertime. Go play some video games.
Yeah, summer. Let's stay indoors. That's my plan.
All right, Scott, what do you got for us?
I wanted to say, since this is, you know, Project Nerd and all that kind of fun stuff, that, you know, I'm actually just announcing this week, and I had the post all written up here, but I haven't even posted it yet. So you guys get the first scoop. But I am adding a bunch of pages to the book on top of the epilogue that are going to be some awesome art pinups from different Kansas City artists that are fantastic. One of which is your own, Brian Timmons. So if you liked the Barons book, which you should all like and love because it's CW and Brian kicking ass and taking names, that book looks great. So one, get that book if you haven't already. But two, if you like Brian's art, be sure to come on over, check out the project. He's going to have an awesome pinup of Night Smoke in the book too. So I'm pretty excited about that. So he's doing it. Buster Moody, he's done some TMNT stuff and Godzilla stuff. Chris Grine does Chicken Hair. Oh my gosh, what's this webcomic? Wicked Crispy. That's a crazy, crazy book. I love it. It's so good. Jordan Kroger, Steve Daniels, Vince Medlin. Those are the ones I'm announcing.
So in this post, so I'm reading it, but really excited about it. Super, super stoked to see these guys. And I haven't seen any of the art yet. So I'm really, really excited to see how other people draw my character, which is going to be super cool. So yeah, definitely come over Kickstarter, check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. I really hope you like the book. I think you're going to love it. It's nightsmokecomic.com/Kickstarter will get you straight to the Kickstarter page. So yeah, that's what I got.
Awesome. For my final thoughts, I'll throw a couple things out there. One, Adam's talking about going back to games like Metal Gear that you know enjoyed or loved. Today is the day to go back to one of my favorite games of the last couple of years, The Witcher 3. The new DLC, Blood and Wine, came out today. And from all accounts, it's pretty awesome. But CD Projekt Red just does awesome things. It's kind of their thing. But the main quest is about a solid 10 or 15 hours with another 8 hours or so of side quests in it, in a DLC. A whole new region of the map to explore. New adventures to send Geralt out on, which is I love because I love me some Witcher 3.
I can't believe I forgot that one. Good job, Tyler.
I'm super pumped about it. I've got it downloaded already. I'm probably not going to get started today, but tomorrow it's a good chance that I'm going to get my Witcher 3 on. I'm thinking about starting a whole new game and new game plus, picking up the difficulty, playing it all the way through again, doing some things differently, doing it right this time around. So we'll see what happens. I think that's it for me, but yeah, Blood and Wine is what, and I've also been playing a lot of Overwatch. So check out Overwatch if you're into, it's a weird kind of, it's like a first person MOBA, if you will. Like if you took first-person shooter and mixed it with League of Legends with a dash of... It's like Team Fortress Classic or Team Fortress 2 with significantly more characters and more abilities. So it's a lot of strategy involved, six-player teams with, like, tank classes, support classes, DPS classes.
It's Blizzard, right?
Like it's Blizzard. Anyway, I think that probably does it for the Nerdcast. We've put enough in here that he's going to have to edit us down quite a bit, so might as well wrap her up. I think we gave him enough extra, though, so he can cut out all the stuff like chair squeaks that make him angry. So, but thanks to everyone for listening. Hey, sorry it took us so long to get back from Planet Comic Con, but we were exhausted. So it happens. But we want to big thanks to Scott Drummond for joining us. Also, you know, nightsmokecomic.com/Kickstarter or just nightsmokecomic.com. Check it out. 17 days as of today. So when this goes up, there'll be what? 2 weeks. About 2 weeks left on it. So 2 weeks left to pledge to his Kickstarter, and that there's still time to be a character in volume 2 of Night Smoke in the epilogue. So maybe grab that big perk. I'm just saying.
Well, thanks to you guys for having me on. This has been a lot of fun. I had a great time. I'll have to try to come back if you'll have me.
We'll be here. But anyway, until next time, we'll be back here at the same nerd time, same nerd channel.
Bye.